He thought it wise to sit down on his lotus seat firmly and give his attention to the execution of penance as he was instructed. Purport. To achieve success in life, one should follow the example of Lord Brahma, the first living creature in the beginning of the creation. After being initiated by the Supreme Lord to execute tapasya, he was fixed in his determination to do it. And although he could not find anyone besides himself, he could rightly understand that the sound was transmitted by the Lord himself. Brahma was the only living being at that time because there was no other creation and none could be found there except himself. In the beginning of the first canto, in the first chapter, first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it has already been mentioned that Brahma was initiated by the Lord from within. The Lord is within every living entity as the Supersoul, and he initiated Brahma because Brahma was willing to receive the initiation. The Lord can similarly initiate everyone who is inclined to have it. As already stated, Brahma is the original spiritual master for the universe, and since he was initiated by the Lord himself, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is coming down by a disciplic succession. And in order to receive the real message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should approach the current link or spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession. After being initiated by the proper spiritual master in that chain of succession, one should engage himself in the discharge of tapasya in the execution of devotional service. One should not, however, think himself on the level of Brahma to be initiated directly by the Lord from inside, because in the present age no one can be accepted to be as pure as Brahma. The post of Brahma to officiate in the creation of the universe is offered to the most pure living being, and unless one is so qualified, one cannot expect to be treated like Brahmaji directly. But one can have the same facility through unalloyed devotees of the Lord, through scriptural instructions as revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam especially, and also through the bona fide spiritual master available to the sincere soul. The Lord himself appears as a spiritual master to a person who is sincere in heart about serving the Lord. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master who happens to meet the sincere devotee should be accepted as the most confidential and beloved representative of the Lord. If a person is posted under the guidance of such a bona fide spiritual master, it may be accepted without any doubt that the desiring person has achieved the grace of the Lord. Om Jnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmunditam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gauravananda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Rama. So yesterday we heard that, in yesterday's class we heard that how Brahma, when he was trying to find out his source in the water, he heard the word tapa. The water was splashing against the lotus stem of the causal ocean, of the Garbhodak ocean, and he heard the word tapaha. And when he heard the word tapaha, then he decided to go on his sleep. So in today's verse, we see that Lord Brahma, he's trying to find out where that sound came from. He's trying to figure out where this, what's the origin of this sound, what's the source of this sound, tapaha. So Brahma is looking everywhere, and he does not find the source of this sound. And then he decides to sit down on the lotus in his meditation posture and engage in tapasya. So, because Brahma has been instructed by the Supreme Lord to execute tapasya. So, Brahma came to the conclusion that the sound I've heard is from a higher authority, and that higher authority is the Supreme Lord. And he needs to execute tapasya. So, in today's verse, we see how Brahma is sitting down. And he thought it wise to sit down firmly and give his attention to the execution of penance. So, in the purport, it's mentioned that Brahma was initiated in the heart by the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So, this kind of initiation is very rare, that one is initiated within the heart by the Supreme Lord. So Arjuna was initiated by the Lord. Very few devotees are directly initiated by the Lord. You see, Arjuna was initiated by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he surrendered himself as a disciple, and then the Lord accepted him as a disciple, and then he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Brahma is the first person in the universe, and he was initiated in the heart. As we were mentioning 2 days ago, that Brahma does not have a biological father or mother. So he took birth from the Supreme Lord, and he was initiated in the heart. So for most of us, this initiation takes place externally. The Supreme Lord manifests himself externally as the spiritual master, the external spiritual master. So the Chaitya Guru is the super soul, but the spiritual master is the representation of the super soul, or is a manifestation of the super soul. So that's how we are initiated by the Lord, through his representative or the spiritual master. So Prabhupada says in the purport that one should not be expected to be initiated in the heart like Brahmaji, because such kind of initiation only happens to very pure devotees. It doesn't happen with ordinary devotees. So sometimes people say that, we hear this quite often in our preaching, that some people will say, you know, I don't need the Bhagavad Gita, I don't need a guru. The Lord is within my heart and He's telling me everything. You know, I don't need to accept any spiritual process or spiritual teacher. There's no need of this man in between. Why do you bring a person in between God and us? We have a direct relationship with the Lord, and He's sitting within our heart, and He tells me what to do. So He's instructing me, and this is what I'm doing. This is my duty right now. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Vajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Bhuti Yogantam Yena Mamupayadite. Krishna says to those who are constantly devoted to serving me, to them I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So the qualification for receiving instructions within the heart is that one has to be constantly engaged, one has to be fully devoted to serving the Lord in Priti, in love, in great love and dedication and faith. When one can do that, then one can maybe expect to be instructed within the heart. So, for most of us, we will be instructed externally through the manifestation of the Lord as the spiritual master And as Prabhupada mentioned in the Purport, through the divine literature, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Vedas which the Lord leaves behind, which he leaves so to bring us back to Godhead. So through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we are instructed. So if someone says, I'm initiated within the heart, it's all bogus, because Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, it's only for them who are fully devoted to His service. So our situation is very similar to Lord Brahma's. And as Keshava was saying yesterday, our situation is quite common. Of course, in common we have one head and a body, but that's not what it's being referred to. What it's being referred to is something else. So Brahma has four heads, we have one head, and we have a body. But our situation is similar because all of us have gone into the darkness of ignorance. So there's this prayer, Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. So that everyone is born into the darkness of ignorance. And the spiritual master opens our eyes, which are forced shut by the torchlight of knowledge. So when we are born in this world, though we can see things, but we really don't see anything. Because our eyes are covered, our vision is covered by ignorance. Our vision is covered by lust, which is a manifestation of ignorance. So because we are covered by ignorance, though we are seeing things, but we don't really see anything. We don't see the reality. We are just seeing things on a very superficial platform. So here we see Brahma is also trying to find out the origin of his creation. Who is he? Why is he ended up here? And what is his duty? So we are in a similar situation. So when we take birth, everyone is born into ignorance. And then we have to find out the purpose of our life. So most people, they don't find out. Most people are just simply caught up in sense gratification. So even if this thought comes, everyone, to a human being, such thoughts will come. Who am I? Why am I here? At least at some point of our life, we would have these thoughts. Maybe when we are young. So when we enter into adolescence, then we forget. Or at moments when we are in a crisis, such thoughts again come. So who am I? Where am I going? Where did I come from? And what's the purpose of my existence? So if one wants to know the answer to such questions, then one has to approach a spiritual master. Karpanya dosha pata svabhava prichami tvam dharma samudha chaitaka. So that when one is facing the problems of material existence, these problems, they behoove one to approach a spiritual master. So to make a solution to the problems of life, one approaches a spiritual master. So if one wants to know the higher reality, then one has to approach a higher source. One has to approach a guru. So Brahma's situation is very similar to ours. He approached the Lord, he understood this instruction is coming from the Lord, and he took initiation from the Lord, and then he began to carry out the instructions of the Lord very sincerely. So we see our process is the same also. We have developed some Shraddha, we associate with devotees, and then we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Rupa Goswami outlines these first 10 principles. Number one is to accept the shelter, Guru Pada Ashraya. One is to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Then number two, to become initiated by the spiritual master and to learn how to discharge devotional service from him. Then number three, to obey the orders of the spiritual master. Then number four, to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And number five, to inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And also to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Lord. So Rupa Goswami says, that means that we should be prepared. This means that when we engage in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up. And also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. So these are very primary principles for the execution of devotional service. So these are critical to make advancement. So it begins with taking shelter, then taking initiation, learning how to render devotional service, then obeying the instructions, inquiring, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas, and giving up anything material for the satisfaction of the God. So we see here Brahma is very committed to carry out his devotional service. So Brahma was instructed to carry out tapasya. So in tomorrow's verse we'll hear that Brahma meditated for 1,000 years. He engaged in this penance for 1,000 years of the demigods. It is a very long time. Just try to put yourself in Brahma's situation. You've just been born and there's no one around you. It's all empty. Not one person. It's just you and there's a lotus flower and there's a stem. And you all down you can see this huge body of water. And the water is so deep you can't find out the source. So it can be quite depressing. But Brahma, he was very committed. He heard this instruction and he was very committed. And he carried out his service for 1,000 years. And at the end of that, the Supreme Lord, he got darshan of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord shook hands with him. And he was shown the spiritual world. It's mentioned in this chapter that the Lord shook hands with Brahma. And he was shown the spiritual world. So yes, taking initiation is very important, but more important than taking initiation is the commitment which is involved in the initiation. The point number three, to obey the orders of the spiritual master. That's more important. So there, the ritual of initiation has a lot of significance, has a lot of importance. In the ritual of initiation, we are given a new name, which helps us remember Krishna. In other words, we are given a new identity, a das, or you know, such and such das or dasi. This is a new identity, something different to what our parents have given us. And then we take vows, we commit to certain vows, at least at that time. And we also get blessings of the whole Guru Parampara. We receive blessings of the spiritual master, the previous acharyas, we receive blessings of the demigods, and ultimately we receive blessings of the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord is present as the sacred fire, as the deity, and we receive blessings of the Vaishnavas. So the ritual of the initiation is also very important. For Arjuna, there was no ritual. He was just, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna started speaking from 2.8 or 2.9, whatever, 2.10 or 11. So there was no yajna, anything. But initiation took place in the heart. But for us, this ritual is important because it imprints a very deep samskar in our consciousness. And we, Prabhupada said, I'm doing this whole ritual just to convince you that this whole engagement is very serious. So this will form a very strong impression in your mind. And later if you feel like deviating, for whatever reasons, you'll at least think about that time, you know, I got initiated and I took vows in front of all the devotees and the sacred fire and the guru was there. And Prabhupada said, if you're only someone who's not a gentleman, will break their vows. So there's some pretty heavy statements Srila Prabhupada made. In our disciple course, which was taught by Atul Krishna Prabhu. So here, there's a section on initiation vows. So there's one letter to Sankarshan on the 31st of December in Bombay, 1972. So there, Prabhupada writes to Sankarshan, If you're still unable to fulfill that promise to your spiritual master, then what is the use of calling yourself devotee and disciple? That is simply pretending. So you should think like this, that I have promised my spiritual master this, now I must obey him without any exception. Otherwise I have no business calling myself his disciple. That will be austerity or tapasya, for forcing you to make very rapid advancement in Krishna conscious understanding. Without tapasya, there is no question of making advancement. So if still the material nature is so much attractive to you that you are unable to sacrifice things in this way, then better you give up the whole thing and do as you like outside. But if you want to call yourself devotee and serve Krishna in that capacity, then you must avoid these four basic principal restrictions under all circumstances without any exceptions. Of course, once, twice, Krishna makes use. That is not very difficult. But more than that, it will become very difficult for Krishna to excuse you. And there is great risk that everything will be lost despite all of your time and effort spent. So here, Prabhupada is emphasizing the importance of keeping our initiation vows. So more important than initiation is, of course, the commitment behind it, which the disciple has to maintain. So Lord Brahma is a very good example of maintaining that commitment. So for 1,000 years he executed his service and still is doing to date. So Lord Brahma is our Sampradaya Acharya. He has founded our Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he is the perfect disciple. So first we have to learn to become a disciple before we become a guru. Of course we hear many times in classes that everyone should become a guru and liberate the whole world. But before we become a guru, we have to learn how to become a good disciple. Because only a good disciple becomes a good guru. So someone who can follow, then they can instruct later. That's the rule. So when we follow these vows, then we invoke the blessings of the spiritual master. So we invoke the protection of the Lord, and our relationship with the spiritual master is nourished. Otherwise, it gets terminated. So in Kali Yuga, our commitment to following the instructions is not very strong. At least I can speak for myself. So sometimes we are unable to meet the commitments which we took at the time of initiation, or later we realize, oh my God, what have I got myself into, you know. After 4 or 5 years of practice, or 7, 8, 10, 20 years of practice, then we realize the real import of the commitment we took at the time of initiation. Because initiation is a very serious thing. We do not realize what we are getting into. And we can see Srila Prabhupada, he said that the reason he was so successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, because Prabhupada himself said that he 100% believed in the instruction of his spiritual master, and he carried out the instructions. So because he 100% carried them out, he was successful. And Prabhupada said, that is the secret of my success, because I'm 100% committed to the instructions of my guru. So becoming a disciple is not something very easy. If someone is a pure devotee, it's very easy to follow the commitments. But because we're not pure devotees, we struggle to carry out the instructions. So every year we have a Vyas Puja. Vyas Puja celebration is there of our spiritual master, in which we glorify the spiritual master. But part of Vyas Puja is also to reevaluate our own commitment to our spiritual master. Every year we can reevaluate when we hear offerings from other devotees, and then we can also assess where we are in our commitment. So most of the time it is just lip service. And even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the instructions to Rupa Goswami, when Rupa Goswami was in Allahabad, he was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami many, many things. And one of the things he mentioned was that there are 8.4 million species of living entities, out of which they're divided into two categories, the moving and the non-moving. So the non-moving are the trees and plants, and the moving are the aquatics, the birds, the animals and the humans. So out of 8 million, 400,000 are humans. 400,000 species are humans. So human beings are very rare in the universe, and even on this planet. And amongst those 400,000 humans, very few are interested in spiritual life or religion. And of those who are interested, only 50% of them are just doing lip service. Rupa Goswami mentions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Rupa Goswami like that. He tells him that 50% of those who are following some sort of religious process are just doing lip service. They are saying all these things, but actually they're not following the religious processes, or they're not even following codes of morality. So like that, we can say that it is not easy to maintain these commitments when we take, you know, initiation. And after initiation, we get so many instructions by our spiritual master or spiritual masters. We get so many instructions. Now, do this, do that. Serve here, serve there. Do the service. So like that, we get instructed. So we have to try to carry out these instructions. And sometimes we just accept defeat even before we carry out the instructions. We'll logically try to calculate. You know, Guru Maharaj, I cannot do this service you're giving me because of such X, Y, Z reasons. Because we begin to materially calculate. I don't have a strong mind, or my body is not fit enough, so I cannot do this service. Or this is beyond my capability, or this is beyond my capacity to do the service. I have no idea how to play an instrument, and you're asking me to learn, you know, a mridanga or some other instrument. I have no inclination to even play an instrument, or I have no inclination to do such service. I'm inclined to do such and such service. So Prabhupada was also given a very, he was given an instruction. The first time he went to see his beloved spiritual master. So at, you know, at Ultadanga Road, the temple over there, Bagh Bazar temple, when Srila Prabhupada's friend, he forcibly took him to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So when they offered obeisances and when they were just getting up, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj told, instructed both of them that, and specifically Prabhupada, that you are intelligent young men, so you go to the Western countries and preach this gospel of Krishna consciousness. So it's like, you know, you just imagine you're going to see a spiritual master. You haven't even taken shelter, nothing. You're just going to see one guru. And then you get this instruction. So one, Prabhupada could have every excuse to say that, you know, I can't do this because I don't even know you. What to speak of having a relationship with you. But Prabhupada, he had very strong faith, and he took that instruction to heart, and he carried it out. It took some time, but Prabhupada kept trying for all these years. We can read in the Vedanta. And he did fulfill that instruction of his spiritual master. But so many other of his godbrothers did not do it. They tried, or they failed also. But Prabhupada, he did it because he had that very strong faith. And he did not accept defeat. So though it was humanly, it was not possible for him to do it. But because he had strong faith in his spiritual master, and he knew Krishna is also there, the factor of the Supreme Lord is also there in the equation. So he knew it is possible to do it. So sometimes we are given instructions which might sound very far-fetched, and you know, it's we can't even conceive of ourselves doing that. But we are pushed to do that. So when we try to do it, then we get the blessings of the Supreme Lord. If we try with great sincerity, then the blessings of the Supreme Lord are also there. Then wonderful things happen, and we are able to fulfill that instruction. Or even if we fail, at least we have tried. So there's no loss again. So in material life, because we attach to fruitive activities, if there's gain, we are very happy. If there's loss, we are very depressed, because it is in relationship to ourselves. But if we are doing it for Krishna, loss or gain doesn't matter, as long as we have tried our best. So if it's success, the success goes to the Supreme Lord. If it's a failure, it doesn't matter. At least we have tried. So success or failure depends on Krishna. So there's this one letter I was reading a long time ago. Prabhupada was writing to one of his disciples who was trying to open a center in America in the very early days. And Prabhupada wrote to him and said, do not worry about failure, success or failure. That is in the hands of Krishna. You just try your best. Whether we are successful in our preaching endeavors or not, That's ultimately up to the Supreme God. But we have to try our best. So a real disciple means to hand over your freedom to your spiritual master. And that can be very challenging. Because that's the only thing we are holding on to so tightly. So in one sense, Krishna consciousness is very easy. But in another sense, it is much difficult than other processes. Because in other processes, whether in jnana or mystic yoga or karma yoga, one is holding on to that independence. One wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. But in bhakti yoga, one has to hand over the keys of one's independence to one's guru, or one's spiritual master, and the parampara. So in that sense, Krishna consciousness can be quite challenging. And Krishna also says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami master jaga. So just abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So if Krishna is saying surrender unto me, he's saying because we are not doing it. That's why he's saying. Otherwise, why does he have to say it if you're doing it? Just like if you go to the toilets here, at least the men's toilets I've seen, there's a sign there which says, pass water like this, pass through like this. And then after that you wash your hands like that. The reason it's there because some people are not doing it. So then Prabhudas had to put that sign there. So people follow the basic instructions. Because some people are passing urine in the showers. So there's a sign, you know. The showers are not meant for, they're not public showers because people are not following it. So Krishna is also saying all these things because we are not doing it. And because we are fearful. Because when Krishna says do not fear, what it means is that we are very fearful of surrendering to Him. We are very fearful of giving our independence. And therefore Krishna has to say, do not fear. So we can see, especially those who are, you can see that those who have an artistic tendency or those who are musicians or artists or writers, if you have to correct them, you have to be very careful in your correction. Because the piece of music they've produced or what they've written, they're very attached to that. So the guru is like a person who just comes and says, no, this is not right, cut this part out. Instead, put this over there. So that can be quite painful sometimes. We come up with so many plans. We want to do service like this, we want to do this, we want to do that in Krishna consciousness. But then when we put this proposition to our spiritual master, he says, no, chops all of that in one second. He says, no, don't do this, instead you do this. And that can be quite painful. So like with musicians, you have to be very careful. You just can't say, no, this is not good. Or don't play this instrument. So you have to be very tactfully approach that situation and not offend them. So that an editor's job is also like that. So an editor, you know, all the other writers, they put so much effort in writing and they write an article, then the editor comes, the chief editor comes and says, no, 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 cut this word out, cut that sentence out, cut this out, cut that out, and just publish it like this. So that can be quite painful to the writer because they've invested all their emotions, all their energy into doing that. And then this one person comes and chops everything off. Or some parts off. So spiritual life is like that. We are coming up with our plans and then our spiritual master says, no, not this, not that, do this. So it can be quite challenging. So to give up this independence is the most difficult part. So that's what Bhakti Yoga is about. And this is something very worthwhile striving for, though we might not be doing it right now. So even if it takes us 20, 30, 40, 50 years, if we can come to that point, that is good. So here is mentioned that that one reason why Brahma's determination was so strong in carrying out the instruction given to him, because it's mentioned he's very pious. Lord Brahma is very pious. So when one is very pious, it is naturally very easy to engage in the process of devotional service with great determination. So that piety is not ordinary piety, which is being referred to here. That piety is the piety of devotional service. So ordinary piety means to engage in karmakanda activities, by which one gets a better result. So that's ordinary pious activities. But the pious activities being referred to here are the pious activities of devotional service. So because Lord Brahma is very pious, he's given the post of Brahma and he has this strong determination to carry out his instructions. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Davanta Gatham Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Tidvandva Moha Nirmukta Vajante Mandrida Vadara. So where Krishna says to Arjuna that persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So someone who has great determination to render service, that means they're very pious, spiritually. So we can see that in Brahma, he's very pious, because that's why he's given that post. So the post of Brahma is not given to any ordinary person. It's given to someone who is very pious. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's said that Lord Brahma, he can have up to 78% of the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So when a jiva has up to 78% of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, then he is qualified to be Brahma. So to become Brahma, you have to become very, very pure. So when one is very pure, then one can become Brahma. So Brahma had a strong determination. So we can even see that in Dhruva Maharaj. So when Dhruva Maharaj was a young boy, just at the age of 4 or 5, he had this strong determination. He carried out the instructions of Narada Muni, his spiritual master, with great determination. And then within a few months, he saw the Supreme Lord. He had darshan of the Supreme Lord. 6 months. And we see that even in the lives of all the previous acharyas and the great devotees, we see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, he had this strong determination. Despite all types of obstacles, he was pushing on. And materially speaking, it's not possible to do that. Someone at the age of 69, going in a boat, having 2 heart attacks, then establishing a movement with all these, young, wild people, men and women. When you're old, you want to have a little bit of a peaceful life. But Prabhupada is in the midst of all these young boys and girls who are so wild. And then he's, guiding them, training them, and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And setting the framework for ISKCON. So humanly, it's not possible. But because Prabhupada had a strong determination, because of his purity, he had that determination, he was able to carry out the instruction of his spiritual master. So artapasya is not taking cold showers, or eating very less prasadam, or wearing torn clothes, or not wearing enough warm clothes. Artapasya is to follow our initiation vows and to carry out the instructions of our spiritual master. So that is artapasya. So this Vani Seva is more important than Vapu Seva. So even Lord Rishabdev, he instructed his 100 sons. And what's that verse? The first verse of the 5th chapter of the 5th canto. Nayam deho deha bhajani loke kashtam kamam arhate virbhujamve tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. What's the last one? Shuddhya. Tasmat. Brahma Sokya Parvanantam. So where Lord Vishnudev instructs his sons that the prime purpose of the human life is to engage in tapasya. And by this tapasya, one can achieve this divine position of eternal bliss. So the human form of life is meant for tapasya. And everyone is doing so much tapasya. People are sitting on the Westgate Bridge right now as we speak. They're trying to go to work. So they're spending 1 hour commuting, 1 hour back commuting or more. Then they're engaging in so much tapasya. They're working so hard. It's all tapasya. But all that tapasya is useless because ultimately at the end everything is destroyed. But when we engage in the tapasya of spiritual life, spiritual life is also tapasya. It's not easy. So we have to rise early in the morning. This is a tapasya. We rise early in the morning, we chant Hare Krishna, go to the program, and then we engage the rest of the day in devotional service and study Srila Prabhupada's books. And we crack our head how to spread Krishna consciousness. And when we do that, that is tapasya. And in that we will meet so many opposing elements. So Krishna consciousness is not a smooth ride. In fact, when you become devotee, you'll get so many other obstacles will be thrown at you. So when Prahlad Maharaj, he was a devotee, but when he was challenged by his father, Hiranyakashipu, who threw him from a mountain, threw him in a pot of oil, then he threw him under elephants, he threw him in a pit of snakes, they tried to injure him with weapons. So in this way one is tested in so many ways. So when we become a devotee, there are so many tests. We will be tested in so many ways. But our tapasya is to carry on, just push on, despite all of that. So I'll leave it here. Do you have any questions or comments on this verse?
One comment we were discussing last night also in the equivalent class. Too many material desires,
any material desires?
Too many material desires.
Yeah.
Not much spiritual.
Yeah.
Value, you know. That's why we are stuck in material.
Yeah.
So we have to remove our material desires.
Chapter of Nectar of Devotion. That's your reference point. The chapter is entitled How to Discharge Devotional Service. So there are 64 items, and the first one is to seek shelter of a spiritual master. And number two, take initiation and learn how to discharge devotional service. Number three, to obey the orders. Number four, to inquire from the spiritual master. Inquire to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. 5 and 6, to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Lord. And there's more also. To follow Ekadasi, to worship sacred trees. Yeah, there's more. So these are the do's, then there are don'ts, and then there are
some vibration from outside, and we look around.
Yeah, in the third canto it's there, the prayers of the fortunate child in the womb. So someone who's very fortunate, they will they make prayers to the Lord in the womb. But then it's further described that when they come out, they get bewildered. So that's where we struggle. Yeah, but it's a good point. Quite similar in that sense. We can also hear songs.
We've been in this position before. We've been in that position. I mean, just thinking that we've also had been in that position before. But I don't know what should I do?
Yeah, very similar to. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthraj and Bhagavatam ki.
Then you have to learn.